Welcome to Religious Retells, a satirical retelling of your favorite Bible stories. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Religious Retells. Thank you for coming back to listen to another story. I'm so happy to have you here. Last week, we took a trip all the way to the beginning of the Bible and dove into the creation story. God smoked a little weed and created basically everything. I think it's best that we stick on this trajectory and continue with our next retell, as in the next in sequence. If you recall, we learned last week that God was getting exhausted by the end of his work, and by the sixth day, he was knackered. I think we've all been there before. You know, trying to accomplish something when you'd rather just sleep, and usually whatever you're working on does not turn out with the best results. Unfortunately for all of us, God's accomplishment on day six was creating humans. And not just any humans, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman to ever step foot in the world. You know how in therapy, when you're trying to work through an issue and your therapist is like, why don't we take a look at how your childhood trauma is impacting how you're acting? And you go, what? No. What childhood trauma? And then by the end of the session, after you're done crying into some fake plant, you realize that therapy is just a way to justify all your shitty behaviors by blaming them on your parents. Well, welcome to Religious Retells Therapy, because we're about to be able to blame all of our shortcomings on the original mom and dad. Let's get into it. Okay. So we're back on day six, creation day, and God is looking over everything he's done, and like all narcissists with unresolved anger issues, is subconsciously trying to sabotage himself. So he uses his godly magical powers and spins the dust from the ground into a little tornado and creates man. Thankfully, God is not a millennial parent, or we would have probably gotten some weird ass trying to be original name like Mudflap or Dirt, spelled D-E-R-T. God names him Adam. And because Adam was made in the image of God, he thinks that Adam deserves a lovely space to live in. So God creates a beautiful garden and calls it the Garden of Eden. God tells Adam that it's his responsibility to take care of the Garden of Eden, and he was free to eat from any tree in the garden, except from the tree of knowledge. If Adam were to eat the fruit from this tree, he would die. I often wonder if God meant this literally. Like, if Adam were to eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge, did God think his teeny tiny brain would just explode? Maybe. God's first earthly task for Adam in the Garden of Eden was for Adam to name all of the animals that God had created. He says in Genesis chapter 2, "Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." Let's take a second and go back to what we learned last week. God loves weed. And as a stoner myself, I can confirm that it is way more fun to get high with your friends and laugh about dumb shit. So I think we know what actually happened here. God strolled up to Adam with his almighty bong, they took a couple rips, and held an animal fashion show where every animal had to strut up and down the runway to get its name. How else can you explain names like hippopotamus, armadillo, camel, goblin shark? There's even a snake called a penis snake. You cannot convince me that that's not two stoned bros' idea of a joke. God and Adam finish naming all of the animals and eating from the tree of snacks. If the Garden of Eden is supposedly a paradise, it's a real tree. Trust me. They sober up. God, more quickly than Adam, because the tolerance of a celestial being is much more than a human. Duh. And while Adam is sleeping off his high, God realizes that while the animals are cool, they're not really like Adam, and Adam will be lonely. So God sees Adam's nap as the perfect opportunity for a little surgery. He removes a rib from Adam's body and uses it to create woman. And he calls her Eve. And thus, the first monogamous relationship was formed, mostly because there was no one else to text, but also because God told them that they were now married. The Bible makes a point to tell us here that Adam and Eve were naked and have been since their creation, and that they don't really notice or feel ashamed, nor should they. Pants are awful. Now, at this time, it's important to note that Adam is the one that had to relay all of the instructions from God to Eve, which is potentially the reason for what happens next. Picture it. Adam knows that there's something important he has to share, but he's overwhelmed in happiness from meeting his new wife, probably still a little high. Very likely he's trying to cover everything that just happened. Okay, so God made this beautiful garden and we have to take care of it. And then he and I hung out, we named all the animals. Look, I called that one a turtle. Oh, and there's something about the tree of knowledge. I was only really half listening. Don't eat from it or we'll die or something. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it's fine. Now, enter the Bible's main antagonist, Satan. He makes his first appearance in the Bible as a serpent. That's right, all snakes are the devil, and this proves it. So slithery Satan, who has been watching God create his little art project Earth all this time, has just been lying, waiting to cause some chaos, because simply put, Satan is God's nemesis. So he poses as a snake and slithers into the Garden of Eden to have a little chat with our gal Eve. Probably because he knows that Adam didn't deliver the message properly. He taunts her a little. Did God really say you can't eat from the tree? And she's like, yeah, we can't, or we'll die or something, I think. Snake Satan, knowing that this is sort of half true, convinces Eve that she won't die and tells her that God doesn't want her eating from the tree of knowledge because eating from it will open her eyes to knowing all things, good and evil. I mean, Satan wasn't totally wrong here. What's the best way for a dictator to stay a dictator? Keep your subjects dumb as fuck. I don't know if this was his goal, but maybe God wanted to save them from knowing all things good and evil to keep them happy. Naive. Maybe he was acting like a controlling prick. Maybe he was just a perv and didn't want them to realize that they were naked all the time. Who knows? Whatever the reason, Eve bursts that bubble. She lets Satan talk her into eating from the tree. So she pulls an apple from the tree of knowledge, takes a big bite, and the snake was right. She was flooded with wisdom. Now, as every good partner knows, if you're going to do something shady, drag your counterpart down with you. It's much more fun. So Eve takes the apple to Adam and convinces him to take a bite as well. Suddenly, they both notice that they're nudists, not by choice, and feel embarrassed of their bodies, so they make themselves some clothes and then try to hide. God, suspecting something, calls out to them. Adam tells God that they hid from him because they were afraid for God to see them naked. Realizing what this means, God is pissed. The one thing he told them not to do, they did. Not only does he make Adam admit to eating the fruit, but that little bitch boy then throws Eve under the bus and blames the whole idea on her. It's not Eve's fault Adam has no backbone. Maybe if God had left that rib in there, he'd be able to ignore peer pressure a little better. Enter Old Testament God's first punishment, where he gets a taste of the good stuff. Livid at their defiance, God decides that Adam and Eve deserve to be cursed for all of their lives and all of the lives of their children and children's children. To Eve, he says, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And to Adam, he says, because you listened to your wife, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. Aside from the sick burn of calling them dusty, let's just be clear. Misogyny is God's fault. Adam and Eve ate from the same tree. Eve gets painful childbirth and serving her husband forever, while Adam just has to work in order to eat food and then eventually die. There's a bit of a lopsided punishment here. God also banishes them from the Garden of Eden and boards up the entry with a flaming sword so that no one can enter it again. That one's pretty badass. I'll give him that. As usual, there's supposed to be a lesson from this story. The Bible wants us to take a few key points. The first being that this story is the original warning of what happens when you disobey God. You will be punished severely. The second is that giving into temptation will not benefit you in the long run. And third, snakes are the worst and they will ruin your life. Okay, typically I'm the first to debunk any and all of these lessons that we're supposed to take and grow from. But today, I have to say that I actually agree with one of them. Snakes are the worst. You can't convince me otherwise. They slither around and purposely try to fuck with you. But back to our normally scheduled program, because that's about as much as I agree on. I think that there are a few actual lessons we should learn from Adam and Eve. The first is that faith and critical thinking don't always go hand in hand. God wanted Adam and Eve to have faith in him and his directive to not eat from the tree, but we still don't really know the reason why. Eating the apple let them think for themselves, and they didn't want to be perved on by their almighty creator. The second lesson, and probably the most overlooked of the story, is that Eve was severely punished for being the first influencer. And no, I don't mean influencing defiance. I mean that Eve just created the original superfruit. Step aside, kale. Nope, not you, avocado. How the fuck do you even say acai berry? I'm talking about apples. Apples are the original badass fruit, and I don't think Eve gets the credit that she deserves for creating the hype that we've had about apples for our entire lives. Sir Isaac Newton got smashed in the head with an apple when it fell out of a tree, and it basically knocked the sense into him to develop the law of gravity. Kiss-ass students who are shoved into lockers give their teachers an apple as a sign of understanding that they want to be recognized as a teacher's pet. Disney made one of their first animated films about a girl who was dumb enough to eat an apple from some haggard old stranger, and shocker, she fell into a coma from being poisoned. This is one of those more obvious parallels. Snow White is one of those situations where you tell your friend they can copy your homework, but change it a little so that the teacher doesn't suspect anything. We call New York the Big Apple. There are dumb expressions like one bad apple spoils the whole barrel, or an apple a day keeps the doctor away. A majority of us are glued to overpriced screens from a company that has branded their entire technology products as apples. And a personal favorite activity of mine, basic bitches everywhere gather every fall to drive to an orchard with their Starbucks infinity scarves and chunky knit sweaters to pick bags of apples directly from the tree and post pictures to the gram. I could keep going, but I think I've made my point. Where would we be in life without our obvious obsession with apples? I think we owe Eve an apology. Well, that's our episode for this week. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use, rate it 5 apples of knowledge if you can, and follow us on Instagram @religiousretails for weekly updates. As always, judge not, lest ye be judged, and watch out for snakes.